This is 8 Minutes, a podcast helping you understand the energy and climate challenge in just a few minutes. I'm your host, Paul Schuster. If you're in the sustainability or climate space, chances are that you're familiar with science-based targets. These have become the gold standard for corporations setting ambitions on reducing their greenhouse gas emissions. Founded in 2015, the Science-Based Targets Initiative, SBTI, has played a huge role in verifying and validating that the targets being set by companies are, in fact, in line with the goals of the Paris Agreement. Namely, keeping global temperature rise at something far less than 2 degrees Celsius. In today's episode, I'm going to unpack science-based targets in a bit of detail, how they're calculated, why they differ from net zero commitments, and even touch upon the recent controversy over whether and how carbon credits should be used in the calculations. I'm hoping that today gives everyone a bit of a deeper understanding as to one of the key standards underpinning global climate action. 8 minutes. It's how long it takes the sun's rays to hit Earth, or about how long it takes for a typical morning shower. Unless you're me, in which case I suggest checking out my more than 8 minutes extended podcast. I like my warm showers. Let's get it on. Ever since its launch in 2015, science-based targets have become the standard for corporate climate action. Backed by the World Resources Institute, the UN Global Compact, the World Wild Fund for Nature, and CDP, the Science-Based Targets Initiative developed a way for companies to validate that their climate commitments were meeting the goals of the Paris Agreement. The process that companies go through to align their commitments with science-based targets is pretty rigorous, but it starts at a much higher level. Rather than a bottoms-up approach, SBTs are generated through a top-down look. They basically start with the International Panel on Climate Change's fifth assessment report on how much carbon emissions would need to be reduced in order to stay below a 2-degree warming scenario. That IPCC report suggests that absolute reductions would need to be between 49% and 72% from 2010 levels, and we'd need to reach that goal by 2050. The science-based targets then figure out what that carbon budget is in terms of real numbers. How much carbon are we allowed to emit then as a globe and meet that IPCC goal? That carbon budget gets allocated out to different sectors. I mean, concrete and construction are probably going to require a bit more leniency than, say, retail. And then the initiative goes through some other mechanics to allocate out a budget to each individual company. For instance, they realize that not everyone is going to transition and commit, so they run a couple of models, a full commitment where everyone participates and reduces emissions, a 50-50 one where they assume that half of the sector's companies participate, and what to do if sector growth is expected from here until 2050, you get the point. Out pops a number, a carbon target as to how much a company would be allowed to emit and keep to the goals of Paris. And then the target's further refined by determining how quickly that number needs to be reached, giving the company some guidance in terms of when actions need to be taken. The company completes the analysis by delivering a roadmap on how their corporate actions would meet that timeline, and that's validated through the SBTI. The latest SBTI data suggests that over 1,000 companies and financial institutions have set science-based targets as of 2022, a number that I'm sure is going to be higher once 2023 data is crunched and reported. There's a process challenge, as the SBTI is notoriously slow and labor-intensive in validating commitments, but, well, at least the standard's there, and companies are working towards it. If you were listening closely, you'll understand that science-based targets are not zero-carbon targets. There's still a carbon allotment that a company can use. Leading companies, though, have wanted to go fully to net zero emissions. So, in 2021, at COP26, the SBTI released their corporate net zero standard, which is a way for companies to commit to fully removing carbon from their operations and value chain by 2050. That standard, too, has seen a lot of activities, as 130 companies in 2022 had already committed to net zero standards. Again, these aren't all companies committing to net zero, but the 130 that have taken the added time to have SBTI as a third party validate their commitments, well, that means their commitments have a bit more than just a press release behind it. Ideally, every company that's pledged a net zero goal would validate that goal with SBTI in order to avoid any potential greenwashing. Now, on to recent news, as SBTi lit a bit of a firestorm 2 weeks ago. Before I explain what happened, though, let's clarify some of the confusing terminology used in target setting. As explained before, science-based targets and net zero are substantially different, as SBTs may still allow you to emit small amounts of carbon. Net zero and zero carbon goals are technically different, too. Net zero implies that a company can use an offset or an environmental credit to count against some form of emissions that they just can't get around creating. But zero carbon, full zero carbon, or real zero, means that you aren't generating any emissions. No offsets allowed, which implies that the really hard work needs to be done to shift business processes and not just buy another round of offsets. Science-based targets have never allowed offsets to be used to get around emissions. If your company has set an SBT, it has done so under the explicit plan to change operations or procurement in order to reduce emissions. The SBTi's corporate net zero standard was actually somewhat mistitled at first, as that standard did not allow the use of offsets either. So it was actually something more akin to a real zero standard rather than a net zero. But then 2 weeks ago, the SBTi released a statement on upcoming revisions to their corporate net zero standard. They basically said that environmental attributes, offsets, renewable energy certificates, these types of tools could be used against the Scope 3 emissions of a company. I mean, on the one hand, Scope 3 is a super challenging part of any corporate climate action. Emissions from the supply chain typically account for upwards of 90% of the total carbon output of a company. But any real action to control those emissions rests with suppliers, not the main company. What's more, you could invest a ton of money in getting your key supplier to clean up, but because they're also supplying to others in your industry, did you just invest in cleaning up your competitor's carbon emissions? The use of certificates to offset Scope 3 could be a way to ensure at least some action, but it also comes with a lot of caveats and issues, mainly because it's so easy to just buy a bunch of offsets and not do the really hard work of decarbonizing in the first place. There's the fear that, well, that could just lead to a form of greenwashing that no one really wants. One of the core mantras of the SBTi has been to not cut corners, but to reduce carbon based on science. There was a lot of pushback on the SBTi, internally as well as externally, on their suggestion of using certificates. The staff sent a formal letter to the board. The board turned around and played damage control by issuing another statement that this is all still in a review period. The controversy will work itself out. There are actually good merits on both sides of the argument, and my hope is that common ground could be found. My personal view is that the SBTi may have actually been on the right track to soften the requirements of their standards and elicit more investment and more activity. We do ourselves a disservice by trying to set perfect targets, whereas the target itself shouldn't distract us from taking action today. We should be evangelizing companies taking action and not just setting targets, and any sort of investment is helpful. But I get it. The SBTi has a big voice, and the corporate world looks to them for guidance. So their abrupt loosening of the rules may have been too much too quickly. Hopefully there's a middle ground, one where guardrails and boundaries exist to ensure that the core elements of SBTi's net zero standard are continued to be met, but with the flexibility to consider all types of mitigation options. I'm Paul Schuster, and this has been your 8 Minutes.